Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ugly Betty's. My name is Steven.
And my name is Lauren.
And we're here to talk about season 3, episode 9, when Betty met Yeti. So, Lauren, I think this is one of my favorite episodes of the season. What's your thoughts on this episode? Generalize before we break it down a bit.
Oh my god. I forgot how upsetting this episode is.
In what respects? I know what respects, but explain it to people.
Racism!
You know what I wrote on my notes? The first thing, token ethnic girl. Discuss.
I hate it so much, you know?
Because it's real?
Because it's fucking real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And this episode, I forgot. I literally forgot how angry this episode made me whenever I first watched it. We'll talk about it more because I have a lot to say on it. But I'm just like, I feel, and I'm going to have a lot of connections to this too, because I really feel like this is a thing, not just in this fashion industry, but also in the theater industry. So you bet your ass we're going to be talking about this episode
in the entertainment industry. And Lauren, when me and Lauren was figuring out like what episodes does Lauren you wanted to do, is say, hey, why won't you just do this episode? Because I knew you have a lot to say. Like I said, when I first said, oh, we'll do episode 8 tornado go, like no, let me rephrase that. Episode 9, when Betty met Yeti.
When Betty met Yeti.
Yeah. Let's scoot that episode down. But yeah.
I really forgot. And then I was watching it today and I was just like, oh my god, I have so much rage in my body now. So I am ready to discuss.
Let's talk about some positive things. Well, not as positive. In the
not
heights.
As positive.
Let's start with In the Heights.
Oh my god. okay, so we'll start with that. Yeah, so Justin and Randy are getting kind of close, question mark, which Betty even kind of comments on. She's like, is this guy, this Randy, are they friends more than just, she's kind of implying, she's like, are they more than just friends? And Hilda's like, oh, I don't know, he just has a little buddy. And it's like, oh, yeah, just
Hilda,
a buddy.
Hilda is so not getting the same,
not connecting the dots, not connecting the dots at all. But you know, they're all very supportive. And actually Hilda has, it's a really good moment. She's such a supportive mom, even if she doesn't always connect the dots, and I love that about her as a character. I just love that for her. So Justin and Randy go and see Little Shop of Horrors, and you kind of see Randy's kind of getting uncomfortable being seen with Justin. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, Justin doesn't think too much of it, and then of course everything goes out the window when Hilda buys third row orchestra tickets to see In the Heights.
When it was
2008 Tony Award winner In the Heights.
And this one, In the Heights, just won the Tony.
Those tickets were not cheap, especially after they just won a Tony. That is not cheap.
So
Hilda's got shmoney somehow.
Hilda did wonders with Mom of the Year. Like, how would you react if your mom handed you those tickets?
I would cry. I would start hyperventilating. He literally goes, Ma, I'm going blind. And I was like, same, Justin.
She said it.
I would also go blind if someone gave me third row orchestra tickets to see fucking In the Heights.
You know what that kind of reminded me of? That reaction when it compared. Remember when I gave you the playbill for Funny Girl, one of the original?
Oh my god, yeah. That was literally what happened to me. I went blind. I went blind.
Yeah, Yeah,
that was literally what happened. But it's so cute. She like is very supportive, even if she is kind of ditzy. And I love Hilda. So she buys him those tickets, And of course, he's like super excited, and he's like, "Randy, guess where we're going? We're going to see In the Heights, bitch!" And he's like, "Randy, he's not about it anymore." He starts acting kind of like a little dickhead again, and he like, you know, and it's of course because he's embarrassed. And so he like, he tells Justin off, and he's like, "Stop following me everywhere, me 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 me." And he ditches him, and it breaks my heart. It broke my heart. It's so sad. So of course it's devastating, you know, like, because Justin knows that he doesn't like fit in for obvious reasons.
Which is not obvious to him yet, which is,
yeah, not obvious to him yet, but you know, I think Betty at least sees the writing on the wall. she's the aunt that knows. She knows. His mom doesn't know, he doesn't know, but she knows. But she tries to support him, you know, and she has a really beautiful monologue where she's like, you know, don't ever change yourself because of like what anybody says. And I'm just like, oh
yeah.
It's a really good moment in the show and in this episode. Like I love Hilda, and like I said, most of the time she is very ditzy, and like she doesn't always get it, but I think she does get it, and she gets Justin.
Yeah, and yeah, it was just like, you know, I've been in that place where Justin is. Sometimes I feel I'm still in that place with a lot of my friends. I'm not going to name them, but yeah, I know how Justin feels. Yeah.
I was gonna say, have you ever had that happen to you, like when you were younger?
Still happens.
Damn. Because I remember I have definitely, I think a lot of people can actually relate to Justin, but I would be curious if any of our listeners maybe have done what Randy did. Like, I can't say that I ever have, but if any of our listeners want to comment, you know. Yeah. Want to like stick up for Randy a little bit? Were you ever in the closet? And maybe he's not. I don't know. But I kind of got this kind of like internalized. Like he's like, oh no, I don't like you. I'm not your friend no more. You're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Have you? If anyone's ever done that, comment. Tell us your story. Yeah. Why did you do it?
Yeah. So the next
thing, did you regret it?
the next thing I want to talk about is Daniel and Molly and Connor and Wilhelmina.
Oh yeah, this weird love rectangle that's going on.
More like
it's
a love,
so bizarre.
Yeah, like a love diamond. That and that, you know. It's this weird diagonal. Like yeah, you like there, you like that, you like them, like, but you can't. But
they like each other. Molly and Owen are together. And of course, they care about each other because we find out in this episode they're engaged. But Wilhelmina doesn't like that. Wilhelmina wants to be with Owen, and Daniel wants to be with Molly. And maybe they also want to be with Wilhelmina and Daniel? Kind of getting those vibes. I'm kind of getting some mixed signals. I actually love that though. Literally Wilhelmina is like, I wrote it down here. Oh yeah. Whenever Molly comes to the office and she's like talking about all the, what does Wilhelmina say? She's like the goody. She's like such a goody two shoes, a good doing gremlin. I think that's what she calls her.
Yeah.
And, she's just like listening to her go on and on. And she's just like, oh, the life you lead. It's so funny. But after that, you cut to her immediately like plotting with Mark about how to steal him away from Molly, and she's like always like, well, it's always good to have a plan B, and he goes, or a plan 34C. That part is so good to me. It's so funny. I really do like their dynamic. I really enjoy their dynamic. But yeah, Wilhelmina is like plotting to steal Molly's man. And then you go over to Daniel And Daniel, like, Owen asked Daniel to go to the school for him and, like, go and talk to Molly's class. And then he's like, no, I don't like your girlfriend. What? No, what? Not me. Being incredibly obvious that he does like Molly. And it's like, I don't know. It does seem kind of written that way, huh? Like, they should be with the other people. Mm-hmm. Like, Owen should definitely be with Wilhelmina, and Daniel should be with Betty. I mean, Molly.
I love your Freudian slits. But we will see what happens.
You know how I feel about it. You know how I feel about it, okay? I will always, always be team Betty and Daniel.
So, and we just see how these relationships, how these connections develop and see.
Yeah, clearly it doesn't work out. Owen and Molly are still together by the end of the episode, and Wilhelmina has seemingly given up on him because she's like, I'm not going to beg, which, yes, good for you, queen. Never beg for a man or a woman if you're into that. Mm-hmm. Don't ever beg for somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel and Molly are they're pretty chummy. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But there is some love, diamond, rectangles, hexagons,
linear structures, linear diagonals going on, which we will see. But let's go to this lovely A plot when Nick Pepper shows up. Who is
I literally editor. Wrote down. I was like, who was this guy? I don't even remember him from season two.
He was Alexis's assistant.
I know. I just was like, I completely forgot about him. I've been doing the rewatch, but it's so funny. Like, what a forgettable character.
I like Max Greenfield. He's a good actor. New Girl. You know he's on New Girl, right?
He actually is a good actor. That's the only reason I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot he was on this show. He's so good in New Girl. But I don't know. I didn't really like his character in this show.
But I also liked him in he's also a character on Veronica Mars, which is a very good show.
You do love Veronica Mars.
I do love Veronica Mars.
But yeah, so he comes back and he tells Betty all about Yeti.
Yeah.
The Young Editors Training Initiative.
And because Betty's feeling sad because she feels like she might be a sis forever. And this is her perfect opportunity. And then when she goes to Yeti, she said, no, this is for next year. I need to start my dreams now. And she's like, okay. All right. So how close is the deadline? A week? A month? Like, you have 48 hours.
You have 48 hours. Good luck.
In a magazine? Good luck.
And so, of course, unfortunately for her, she has this 48-hour deadline and she's panicking and she's like, oh, I'll do fashion.
And everyone keeps on saying,
fashion? You? I was just saying this to you off the mic before we got started. I was like, for some reason it kept reminding me of Into the Woods when they're like, you Cinderella, the festival, the king's festival, and everyone's like, what, you Betty, fashion,
you a fashion magazine,
a fashion magazine,
even Christina questions it.
Yeah, even, you know, it's bad when even Christina is like,
and she was trying to point out, like, the good outfit, like, this one.
And she's like, you should pick this one, Betty. But yeah, so, like, everyone is just like, fashion? Fashion girl? Are you sure about that?
And when she said, oh, I think this is really hard for a lot of people, and then Mark storms in, it's like, oh, I'm gonna get this. It's like,
and yes, and she discovers Mark is her competition.
And Mark says, only one person from the same magazine can get in. So, yeah.
So now we have conflict. We have conflict. Betty's got 48 hours, and she's going against Mark, and only blonde can win.
And Mark's been working on it for 3 months. Betty has 40.
Well, no, wait, no. So we didn't know that. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Yeah.
Cut that. We're going to cut that part because I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah.
So she finds out that Mark is her competition and she is ready to give up. You know, she's like, I don't even know how I'm going to do this. Like, Mark knows way more about fashion than I do. And then she gets inspiration from Ignacio, her dad. He shows her this magazine that she made for her mom when she was in the hospital when they were kids. And she gets a brilliant idea to make Bee Magazine. That's her concept that she goes into the room with, which she does deliver it as just a concept. Like, this would be the concept of the magazine. You know, she gives a very good presentation and she talks about like how she wants it to be a lifestyle magazine where women are encouraged to be themselves, not what they could be. And like, I actually really like that. Like, I'm like, that's actually very admirable. And that's like a really good concept. And she's like, yes, I feel so happy and confident. I feel like I nailed it. And then Mark comes in and he has like a whole team and he's got like famous people sponsors.
If you remember the music was playing, it was playing Ma 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 Ma.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're playing Lady Gaga.
Poker Face.
Mm-hmm. And so he's got this whole huge presentation and he's delivered a whole magazine.
Mm-hmm.
A whole magazine, like literally a full issue. And she's like, oh wow, holy shit, I'm definitely not gonna get it now because it's a lot. You know, he's very he's got a huge presentation and she's like, oh well, obviously I'm not gonna get it. And like, she was supposed to have help from Daniel, and he didn't help her at all because he's too busy losing Molly.
But so we say, you know. So Betty thinks that he didn't do anything.
Well, he didn't. We're gonna don't skip ahead too much. So he did. He doesn't help her. He missed out on her mock presentation because she wanted to like do a mock presentation for him, and he also didn't write her letter of recommendation on time. And she's like, well, I guess we're just gonna go and wing it. And so rightfully so, she's pissed off at him. She's like, you know, you ruined my chance. Is I could have really used your help and used your letter of recommendation. And then she gets surprisingly good news. She made it without Daniel's help. She did not need anyone else's help. She didn't need no flashy extra panache that Mark had or Daniel to help her out. She got in on her own. On her own merits. And then fucking Mark, being a bitter bitch, tells her that she only made it because she is what, Steven?
The token ethnic girl. Let's discuss.
I literally cannot stand when people are like, oh, you're just the token ethnic girl. Bitch, she fucking did all of that in 48 hours by herself with no fucking help. No flashy panache, no fancy rich sponsors that Mark had, and she literally, and no help from Daniel. She did it all on her own, and she made it in on her own merits. And then he fucking says that racist ass shit to her. Oh, you only made it because you're Hispanic, you're Latina, you're the token ethnic girl.
And then when she calls, they didn't deny that it wasn't true.
That's true. They did not deny necessarily that it wasn't true, which I think is, it really, really makes me mad that they did that on the show. Because how I think they should have handled it is that, like, oh, there's so many things. I really feel like this episode really pisses me off because, like, I would like to have seen them be like, well, I mean, of course, like, diversity and inclusion is important to us, but no, Betty, like, we actually really enjoyed your concept and we enjoyed that it was very you. She understood the assignment. And she should have really called Mark out for his racism, which she doesn't do. Mm-hmm. Literally, the next she gives up on going to Yeti because he fucking puts that into her head that she didn't deserve it. She mm-hmm. only got in because she's a token. And he's like, oh, well, I've been discriminated against my whole life. Bitch, you're fucking white. First of all, shut the fuck up. If I were Betty, I literally would have, that would have been the first thing out of my mouth. It pisses me off so much. Like, yes, of course, he's a gay man, but he's a white gay man. And he literally gets away with, like, saying that racist ass stuff to her. And he's like, oh, I hope you don't think I'm racist. Yes. Yes, I do. Because literally what he said was so awful. And she's like, you've said a lot of ugly things to me, but that is by far the ugliest. You should have said it, called it for what it was. It was racist. And so many white people are just so comfortable with saying that about people of color. It's become like a microaggression at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel so comfortable saying it, especially in theater. Oh, well, you know, you'll have a really good chance because, you know, you're ethnic. They don't want white people right now. They're only looking for ethnic. So, like, of course,
Of course
you'll get in because you're ethnic.
You don't know how many people have said that to me over this past 2020 and 2021. Like, this is a really good time for you to be black. It's like,
no, it started in 2016 after Hamilton. After Hamilton came out, everyone I know was like, every time I'd go to auditions, I'd be like, all the white people would be like, oh yeah, well, you know, it's a really good time for you to be ethnic right now. You know, I think they're really looking for, like, diversity. They're not looking to hire me.
Oh my gosh, that just made me eye roll.
Oh no, it couldn't be because I'm better than you, could it? It has to be because you're white and I'm ethnic. Interesting. Because see, I think it's because I'm better than you. No, but you have to keep your white supremacy intact. It's only because they're looking for diversity. That is an act of white supremacy. Telling ethnic people that's the only reason they're getting hired, getting cast. That is an act of white supremacy. And I hope everyone listening hears me when I say that and understands that. If you are a white person and you have ever said that, you need to check yourself.
And apologize.
And apologize to people that you've said that to. And if you are a person of color who has ever experienced that, a BIPOC person of color, sorry, that, let me, if you are a BIPOC and someone has ever said that to you, check them for that. Check them for that because it's wrong. Do not let these people get into your head and think that the only reason that you are getting work or getting cast or whatever it is because of the color of your skin. Or your ethnicity. No, that's not the case. It's because you are talented. That's what makes me so mad about this episode. And like, I really feel like if it was made today, I really hope they would address it better and not drop the ball the way they did. Because like, he should have gotten checked for that. And I would have liked, like I said, I really would have liked to have seen the school be like, oh no, it's because like we actually do really like your concept. You didn't need all that flashy shit to get in. Like, you just had plain and simple a really good concept. And we like your energy. But no, they did make it sound like she was just a what is it called? What is it in workplaces when they say they have to meet a quota?
Yeah, yeah.
They said that it's it's affirmative action.
Yeah,
that was the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. I really hate that because then, like I said, so Betty decides to drop and she's like, "Oh, you deserved it more than I did, Mark. Because we find out he's like, oh, I worked on it for 3 months. And you really think something that you did in 48 hours was better than what I put together in 3 months? Yes, bitch. That would have been my response anyway. Like I said, if I was Betty, I would have been like, well, I guess I'm just better than you.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like when people say like, this is a great time for you to be a creative right now. This is like, it's still hard right now for me.
It's a great time for you to be black, insert whatever color you are. Really? Is it really that? Is it really that great right now? Is it really that great? Because I don't know about that.
Because if it's really great, I would really be booking out the wazoo. Because there's a lot of people, like, one of my acting teachers said, like, you're really, really talented. It's like, thank you. I know, but I'm not seeing the parts.
No, but it's also, like, the blindness of that statement. If they go, oh, it's a really good time for you to be black right now. Really? I don't think so. Last summer only just happened. I really don't think so. Or like in my case, if they're like, oh, it's a really great time to be Hispanic right now. Oh, really? Yeah. Did you know there are still people locked up down at the border? I don't think so. I don't think it's a good time right now, I guess.
It's a really good time. Like, you know, they're still shooting black people, right? You know, yeah. Still murdering them, right? It's still, and I'm
scared. You know, that's still a thing, dark, right?
Like, you know that part, right? You know, I'm still scared. People still call me the N-word, right? You know,
yeah. No, but it's a great time.
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 I just can't. It's so ignorant. So yeah, this episode really pisses me off and it makes me so angry. And I hate that they just gloss over it and they go back to being friends immediately because Daniel gets her in. Like, that's the opposite of her getting in on her own merits. She gets in the second time because Daniel gets her in because he feels bad that he wasn't there for her, which, okay, is very sweet. He's trying his best and he really wants her to go after what she wants and he believes in her. And they do have a really sweet moment where he's like, I know one day I'm going to be your assistant. And I was like, oh, I love them together. I love them together. Anytime they have a scene together. I love it.
Can we just get back on the
track? But my point with that is not to get too sidetracked about the fact of how much I love them.
Yeah.
My point is that is the exact opposite of getting in on her own merits. All he had to do was pick up a phone and she got in again because it's Daniel Mead pulling strings. That's what pisses me off. She got in by herself. No panache and no Daniel. And then he had the nerve to turn around and say that it was because of that. And then they just gloss over it and they go back to being friendly with each other. I don't like that. I don't like that. If some person who I like am barely friends with at work said some shit like that to me, we'd immediately be taking a trip to HR. Because ain't no fucking way. It really, it's very upsetting to me. I hate it. Because he ruined her whole moment. He shattered her dreams.
He gave up her dreams.
And gave up her dreams. Because of him. And then they just gloss over it. I really feel like they dropped the ball. Of course, it's a product of its time. You know? We always talk about that. Some of the more worse writing moments on this show, you can tell it's because it's a product of its time. But at the same time, I really feel like even for being a product of its time, they could have done better with this episode.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And it brings up a bunch of issues. Like you said, it does bring up relevant issues that we're still dealing with today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the whole show is that issue, like being an ethnic person in a white society,
yeah,
and how to deal with that when you are talented and have dreams how do you get towards your dream and still be staying true to yourself? And don't let the horrible things get in your way. You know
yeah,
what?
because there are always going to be people like Mark who are going to think that you don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you only got in because you're the token ethnic girl. You only got in because of this, that, or the other.
But I would like to put in perspective that Michael Urie is a very nice person. It was just his character.
Oh, yes, of course. No, no, no. We love Michael Urie. He's a great actor. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I, as much as I hated him in that scene, like he does manage to still make Mark somewhat sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
To me, again, like I said, to me, this is just bad writing in the sense of, like, I don't like how they handled the whole interaction and the whole episode. But, like, he still makes Mark sympathetic because, like, you know, he you can tell he really wants this too.
Mm-hmm.
But God, it was such a shitty fucking thing.
But I would like to say that moment when Wilhelmina say, "I'm glad you got this. You deserved it. You worked."
Yeah, hard. You know, she was like, she got really mad at him at first, and then she was like, "By the way, like, I'm proud of you," or whatever. And I was like, "Oh, it is a nice moment." But I just, it's so hard. I don't like it. Michael Urie is a great actor, and I think he did try his best, like I said, to make Mark more sympathetic. But ah, oh God, it's just so terrible.
And I love, he's on Broadway again.
He is. Yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
Oh, I don't know that much about the show, but he's on Broadway right now obviously in New York on Broadway, in a play called Chicken and Biscuits. The only people I know about who's in it, I don't know the other actors by their names, but I know Michael Urie's in it.
Norm Lewis is in it.
Mm-hmm. And that's so all
we got
I know.
Some, it's a new play that just opened recently on Broadway. Actually, I was going to tell you for this episode as well, Vanessa Williams actually went recently to go see him
yeah,
in the show. So they had a little mini reunion. I was gonna send you the link, and I was like, look, we should talk about this today.
Yeah.
Yes, she went to go see him in that play. If you do get tickets to see it, let us know. Michael Urie, we stan you and we support you, and good luck in your Broadway show if you happen to listen to this.
Yeah, we love watching, we love supporting, you know, artists and the creatives. But yeah, I think that's a great place to end it, don't you? Anything else you want to say about the episode?
Yeah, just like I said, just it really bothers me.
Standing
like
your
I feel
truth
like
in power. Sorry,
stand... cutting you off. No, you're good. Again, I for being a product of its time, I still feel like they could have done much better with this episode. This is an episode I think they did drop the ball in the sense of how it should have been handled. It just upsets me because it made me look at Mark as a character a different way. And I literally forgot about this episode. I think I hated Mark for a while after this episode came out originally, because I was like, wow, he's such a bad person. How dare he like ruin Betty's dreams and like ruin her happiness and like dim her light. And I felt that way again. I was just like, oh my God, I completely forgot that this happened. And like, why make Mark do that? It made me very upset. And as I was saying, if you are a white person that has ever said that to another person of color, Black, Indigenous person of color, you need to check yourself.
Or Latina or Asian or Pacific Islander or Native American.
Well,
or
it's the acronym BIPOC. We don't have to.
I just want to make sure they, you know, check the list in their head. Like, have I done it to this person? But yeah, I think that's where I would like to end it. Without further ado, my name is Steven.
My name is Lauren.
Bye.
Bye.